Welcome to the Scarlet Tears podcast, where we talk about our favorite show, Miss Scarlet and the Duke. Hey, Scarlet Tears, how you doing? I'm Amanda.
I'm Lindsay.
And thanks for listening. We don't really feel like wooing this time.
No, not particularly.
We've had news. I'm sure everybody's heard of news. If you're not, what rock are you living under? I want to go live under that rock. I want to live under rocks now.
I want to go back to January.
Yeah.
And when we had all the excitement for season 4 coming out, I want to go back in time and just freeze myself in that time.
Yeah, I want to go back to our last podcast and the moment we hit end record. That was very naive, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I admit I'm when I look back on that, what's our thoughts for season 5? I feel a little bit stupid,
very
if I'm honest.
Foolish. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, this is definitely not a podcast I ever thought I would be making. So for anybody listening, please forgive us if this one's a little bit strange, a little bit emotional.
A little bit rambling and incoherent.
Yes.
I'm sure you guys all feel the same way. If you've not heard the news, Stuart Martin is leaving, has left, Miss Scarlet and the Duke. William Wellington is gone, and the show is now just called Miss Scarlet. Like I said, can I have your address to your rock? Because I want to come and live under that rock.
I mean, obviously, we knew in season 4 that William had left London to take a year's secondment in New York. But I think all of us fans at the end of season 4 were kind of like, okay, that's great. They're going to take some space, but he's going to be back in season 5. Maybe, I think we'd all come to accept, maybe he won't be in the first 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe by episode 3,
yeah,
you know, he'll be back in London and we're going to see some real progress. He's going to be changed from being in New York and Eliza's going to have grown without him like we want. And we're going to see them and they're going to come back together stronger, better than ever. And
never mind. Never mind.
I'm absolutely gutted. I think is the only way I can describe how I feel right now.
Yeah. I read the news accidentally. I was opening up Google on my phone, look up something. I don't even know what. And I saw like this article and for 2 weeks, my brain was drop kicked out of my head. I don't know.
I mean, for me, I was sitting in a swimming pool. My daughter was having her swimming lesson, so I was in a crowd of people. And I had a text message from another fan going, oh my God, season 5 news. And so I instantly went and looked on Instagram and had that moment of, oh, yeah, season 5's back. Oh, crap. And then there were words that
yourself?
Probably.
I would just been like, all right. Under the water I go.
I wasn't in the swimming pool. I was sitting watching.
I love you. Sorry.
I can't tell you what she did in that swimming lesson. Because there was just in my head lots and lots of explicit words.
Yeah. Everything just went like blank and there was just white noise. That like static fuzz of just, you know, that shh.
Yeah. And like, lots of people messaging. I think my thumbs by the end of it were just like, oh,
yeah.
This was just not news I was ever expecting. That I think because and the Duke is in the title, I just kind of always fell back on that. Even when William's role was being slightly dialed back, I always had, well, he's in the title, you know, he's not gonna, oh, okay, that's just complete rubbish now.
Yeah, like I said, never mind. I And to like ch change the, it'd be, it would, not that I would have liked it, but it would have been one thing for Stewart to leave and then they replace somebody to fill the role as William, but to completely change the entire show, like get rid of the and the Duke. I mean, it was like a double kick. Stewart's gone and William's gone. There was a tweet from somebody, Debbie Blackman on Twitter said, "The thing about losing William Wellington is just not the loss of the romance with Eliza, but the loss of the growth at Scotland Yard and the loss of his friendship with dear Fitzroy. He was important to the series despite the romance." Yes, it's not just, oh, what about the romance? Fitzroy is going to be devastated. I mean, it's. Sorry, sorry, fans. There's going to be a lot of this just because it's been what, 3 weeks?
Yep, about that.
And we're still so stunned and confused about why you would create this beautiful show for 4 seasons and then just get rid of half your title character. I mean, if Stewart's gonna leave, okay, Stewart has to leave, but replace somebody for the Duke. It's happened to a million shows where you have to replace the lead character or the lead actor for the character. I mean,
I
it's
mean, I'm
called.
not sure I would have enjoyed having a different Duke. I'm not sure I could have bought it, to be honest, because for me, I love Kate and Stuart.
Yeah.
Like, the two of them together are absolute magic. Like, I could watch them watching paint dry. So I don't think replacing Stuart Martin with somebody else, unless you could find somebody who is a complete double of him. Hey, maybe Hugh Jackman could come in.
Hey, Hugh, are you doing anything? I mean, I agree. I agree. Yes. Stuart is the Duke 100%. But like I said, it's just a I don't know. I go back and forth. I don't see how you can just completely change your show like that.
I guess they're just trying to keep it going. They're just, I get it. I get if Stuart wanted to leave, you know. As fans, we would have loved them to kind of wrap it up and have a nice happy ever after for Eliza and William. But, you know, for Rachel and that, they want to keep the show going. So they're doing it the best that they can to keep the show going. I think the trouble is us as fans, it's come completely out of the blue. And it's a, you know, they're obviously filming season five right now. So they've had a lot of time to realize this change, we assume. Because obviously season five has probably been written without William at all. And so they've had time. So this isn't a shock to them. I think for us as fans, this is completely like, what on earth has happened to. I don't understand how we've got to this point. I don't, where, like you say, we've had 4 seasons of a beautiful story. Have I really been watching the most tragic love story for the last 4 years that's basically ending with them going, 12 years of friendship, nah, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
That's the bit I can't comprehend. I don't understand. And the trouble is, we're not gonna know anything until January now. The show has not given us anything to kind of give a guide. I don't know whether they will come January. William may be a line in episode one where it's, oh, he's in New York, and season five will be all set while he's in secondment in New York, which is entirely possible. Or is it gonna be, we're completely writing William out. We're moving on now. They've written each other a letter to say, nah, it's not worth it. And he's never going to be mentioned again. I don't know. I don't know whether I'm supposed to keep hoping that William and Eliza are going to get their happy ever after and, you know, we'll have some sort of ending where he comes back, whether Stuart and Rachel are open to discussions maybe for him to come back in season six or come back at the end. I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to think. And I'm very, very confused as to how we've got to this square.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm feeling
Yeah.
very caught in the middle because obviously there is a lot of fans who have kind of gone,
What should we do?
I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm out. Goodbye. And fair play to them. If you're watching for Eliza and William, totally, I get it. I'm gutted, and there's part of me that is kind of going, I don't know if I want to watch Miss Scarlet season 5/season 1, because I think it will be a slightly different show. Am I going to watch and feel like there's a massive 6-foot-2 bowler shaped hole going on somewhere? Is it going to, have little touches of William just to kind of keep us interested? I don't know. I don't know what to think. I feel very negative at the minute,
Yeah.
and I know on our group there's a few people who have tried to be positive with me, and I'm just like, the show themselves hasn't given me anything or any reason necessarily to feel positive other than a really vague for now.
Yeah. It,
What does that mean?
yeah, it's really hard to be positive about season five, even if we talked about it with the last podcast. Like, what do we envision for season five? How's Eliza gonna get her cases with William not being there? Okay, there's Fitzroy. Maybe he could hand her some under the table. So, is that how she's gonna get cases now? It just, without William, it's a completely different show to me. Even if there was no romance, there was that partnership where they solved crimes together. Is Fitzroy gonna fill that role? Nash, I don't know. He's in prison. Is he gonna be in prison? Is he gonna get out like they kind of hinted? I hope not. I mean, if he gets out, I hope he's not the partner, because they're too alike. They clash, and it just doesn't work how William and Kate, not Kate, William and Eliza did. Sorry, it just isn't quite the William and Eliza that season one through three was. It just is not the show that it was. So season five to me is a brand new show. So you're asking me to love this brand new show, and that doesn't work. You can't tell me, oh, in the fall we're starting a whole new show on, ABC. Please, fans, love this brand new show. No, I need a while to know if I love these characters, if I love the storyline, if I love the scenery, if I love, where what are we going with the characters. I know we sort of know these characters, but so much is going to be changed now that to me, it's at least 80% a new show. And so I can't fully go, yeah, I'm there. I'm going to love the show as much as I did the other one, because Fitzroy is going to be devastated. Phelps is going to be like, well, am I fully the skipper now? Okay, let me, work twice as hard to fill William's spot. I can do it, but it's going to be hard. I can do it, so Phelps is going to change, which we liked the changing of Phelps, but Phelps is going to be a different character now. Ivy's going to have to play a bigger role because Eliza needs Ivy's support for no William. So this is a different show. You can't expect me to go, yes, let's get behind this 100% for this new show. And it worked that way. It don't work that way, writers and Rachel and PBS. It don't work that way. So I'm
And in
not.
case anybody listening hasn't figured it out, Amanda's pretty mad right now.
I mean, I'm not saying I won't watch it. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I won't support the Scarlet Tears. I'm not saying I won't support Kate, Kathy, Evan, Paul, Tim. No, I love these actors. I love what they do with these characters. I want their careers to be great. But you guys have just swept the rug out from underneath us, and you can't expect us to like fall in line straight away. without telling us. Like, you guys gotta go, are you guys okay? This is what we're doing now. Like I said, our last couple podcasts, we are needy fans. We need reassuring. We need a little bit of guidance, you know? And I feel like the writers and PBS have just treated us very unfairly. There's a lot of articles out there that are trying to tell us that there has been no romance, that we are misinterpreting the relationship between William and Eliza. And to that, I point to Rachel New's Twitter or the tweet when she said, episode three is the beginning of Eliza and William's romance.
Love story.
Love story. Sorry, the love story. So don't tell me there's no love story when your head writer pointed out that there's a love story. No, 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 no. I don't know how many times I have to say no. So treat the people who are supporting your show nicer, please.
It's
Because
really difficult. I mean, I'm not here for the William bashing that has
no.
kind of come out of, oh, he only wanted Eliza to be a wife, and he wanted her to stop working and all of that. And I'm like, we're watching a
None of
different
that.
show. We're clearly watching a different show because to me, William absolutely hand on heart loves Eliza. He's walked away because he loves her so much that, you know, he's not going to ask her to change. And in some ways, that's why I could accept him going to New York
Sure.
when season four aired. I was like, okay, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I'd rather he stuck around and fought for her and made her feel completely loved and supported. But you know what? Okay, I'll there is a it has got to a point where if William was just going to stick around London and continue to pine and wait for Eliza to be ready, it was going to get pathetic for him, and his character was going to come across pathetic. So I kind of get, okay, yeah, he needed to step away.
Yeah.
I just don't get how suddenly the show that we love, and even just some of the insensitiveness of it, you know, the comments of season five is going to be the best ever, and you know, there's going to be new potential romances, and as fans, it's like, whoa, hang on a minute. No, to me, season one is the best season ever because that was actually Miss Scarlet and the Duke.
Yes.
Whereas other seasons, and I kind of feel like I preempted this in a way because I remember very, very early on in the podcast when we were talking about season two and how the relationship between Eliza and William had less screen time. It kind of moved to be more in a weird friend zone. That I said I understood what Rachel was doing and that she was trying to expand the world of Miss Scarlet and the Duke to create more stories.
Yeah.
Brilliant. But what I didn't want it to do was to then detract from what us as fans love about the show, which was William and Eliza's relationship, their growth. They're working together, they're supporting each other. And unfortunately, I feel like I wrote my own prophecy here
I think
because it has.
way to
In
go,
trying to expand
Lindsay.
the show, Stuart's kind of felt like he can't do anything else with William and it's time to move on. And that's really, really sad.
Yeah.
Because there were so many things that could have happened. I mean, in trying to fill a hole. Because I think the one thing for me is that Miss Scarlet and the Duke is very unique in its show. There isn't another show quite like this. And when I first started watching, what I loved about it was it did have a wonderful balance between the crime and a touch of romance. And the relationship between Eliza and William is really what made me want to rewatch. Like, you watch crime drama. I love crime dramas, and I've desperately been trying to watch other crime dramas in the last few weeks to kind of get my crime solving fix. And there isn't anything that has that balance between a crime and a partnership of two people and a bit of romance between them, there isn't anything that I can find. And so when I have, like, I started reading the Veronica Speedwell stories, and I've read the first book and I've read it pretty quickly, and the only thing I kept going was, this is how Eliza and William should have been. They should have been growing and supporting each other, and it should have been, it's you and me against the world. Whatever things throw at us, we're gonna have each other's back. And it just never happened. It just never worked out that way, and I don't really know why. I don't know
Yeah.
how we've got to this square. I mean, I loved the show. I think if anybody has listened to this podcast for the
Yeah.
last, 2.5, nearly 3 years, I
Three
mean, we're up
years.
to episode 37. I don't think that you can ever turn around and say we don't love this show.
Yeah.
But it's really difficult moving forward to know how. I don't want to do the show a disservice by talking about it and going, oh, I wish William was here. I wish William was here. Because I do. It was the William and Eliza relationship is what made me want to rewatch. It made me want to join a fan group. It's made me want to talk with other fans.
Yeah.
And, I love Ivy and Barnabas, and I love Fitzroy, and I love, Eliza herself. She's still got a lot of growing to do. And but in the same vein, I kind of feel like William's character brought so much to it. Like, he brought honesty and he brought some heart to it, that Eliza can be very harsh when she's working.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you always think of those moments at the end of episodes where they're reflecting when somebody really nice has done something that probably isn't great, like, for instance, at the end of The Air, or at the end of season 4, episode 2, 6 Feet Under. They have that moment of bringing it back to a realism of, these people are real people, and it makes you feel something. That, when I think of, say, episode 4, and I said this way back when, I felt really weird about season 4, episode 4, and how Nash and Eliza and Clarence were all sitting in the office celebrating that they've, got double pay, and you've still got this woman who is being beaten up by her husband. Like,
Yeah.
I don't that didn't feel comfortable to me, because in when it comes to William and Eliza, it's always a reflection of this person. It's a sad story. This person didn't deserve this. And so I just feel really weird right now. I love so much about this show, and I don't know where we kind of go from here. Like, I can't imagine what season 5 is going to be like.
Yeah. Yeah,
So
no.
yeah, it sucks. It sucks big time. And I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feel come January. Maybe come January, the dust will have settled and we'll all have taken a breath and be able to look at it objectively, or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's certainly a lot of fans out there right now that have kind of gone, goodbye, I'm out. Which is really uncomfortable when you're doing a podcast and a group. And, I love our community of fans. I love our friends that we've made. If nothing else, I will never regret the love that I have given this show, because what I've got out of it is an awful lot of friends. And
Yeah.
it's been really lovely, the amount of people, like on our Instagram page, who, when the news came out, kind of sent us a private message going, oh my God, what are you going to do? Are you guys okay? Like, we know how much you love this show. This must be a shock. And you're like,
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm putting it lightly. Yeah, because it's not just the show that got like a mix up. The show is changing. It was doubly hard for us because I mean it was this podcast that it's coming up in June or July. That's 3 years of the podcast. And It's been 4, almost 5 years of being a Scarleteer because I was one of the first to join the Scarleteer, the original Scarleteer group before the show even aired. So that's almost 5 years of being a Scarleteer. And so it's dozens of friendships that we've created and cultivated. Like you and I, Lindsay, we're how far apart? And
Just a few thousand miles, you know.
we have this solid friendship now because of this show and these groups that we have. And it's all these years of love of the show, love of each other, love of these characters, and these years of creativity. Our creativity, you and I, about, well, what do we talk about each month? How do we, keep our group fresh and active? And that's a lot of energy we've put into this, years of energy and creativity. It's creativity with the fanfic writers who love these characters and want to continue their story outside of the show. It's creativity to the artists who knit or crochet these dolls or hand draw these pictures or computer digital drawing. It's these artists, these years of creativity for them because they love these characters. It's these love, it's these friendships. It's losing, painfully losing a friendship that, was very hard. It's not just a show. We weren't just tuning in for an hour every Sunday or Tuesday,
For a
depending on where
few
you're at.
weeks.
And yeah, for 6 weeks and then just forgetting about it until the next season comes. These characters live in our heads. These characters are real. We're insane. And I say it every time that we think, we talk about them like they're this real person. Like I would go on and on and on about the growth of Ivy. How she's learned to read, and now she's reading these novels. Now she's reading case files and having input, and she has a fiance who she stands up to. The growth of Ivy, like she's a real person. She's not a real person, but to me, she's a real person. So, it's not just a show, and we're constantly thinking, and to all of a sudden get this big hammer, Thor's hammer to our skulls, going, what? It was a shock. And just, I just sat in my chair all day talking to you, thinking about, like,
What do we do now?
I don't
What
know
do we do
what to
now?
do. And for weeks, I would just spontaneously cry. There would be tears leaking out of my eyes because it's the loss of a family member. It's the loss of this, like I said, these years of a thing. Like, what do we do? And William, we don't know the story. So somebody said it's like it's Schrodinger's cat. If you don't know Schrodinger's cat, it until you open the box, you don't know whether the cat is alive or dead. So we don't know what the future of William. So we can't say, oh, William is going to go to New York and get shot or die. William falls
He's
in love.
not gonna be killed off as far as I'm concerned.
No. Or
Don't do
William
that to
falls
me.
in love with another woman and doesn't return to Eliza. Or William stays in New York and returns to Eliza in season 6 or 7. We don't know until it happens. But at this point in time, it's this big question mark, this big fuzzy thing that we can't hold on to. And it's hard to go, well, what do we do if we don't know?
It's hard to kind of work out what, how what do we keep talking about for the next 9 months? Or actually, is it better to not keep talking about it and let the show start afresh in January with a fresh start? And yeah, I've no idea. I don't know what we do. Let's perk ourselves up a little bit, because I
Yes.
do want to. I don't
Celebrate
want it to be
who I
all
am.
doom and gloom, people, because you
Yeah.
know we're not.
We are
It's
not doing
supposed to be
gloom people.
happiness. So,
Yeah.
for the next kind of 10-15 minutes, I just want to talk about our favorite bits, because this is our absolute. You know, for me, it's been a show that has been with me since 2020, since lockdown. It came out in the UK, I think, literally just as lockdown happened, which, in
Yes.
all honesty, feels like a complete lifetime ago.
Oh, so many lifetimes ago,
So
yes.
many lifetimes ago. And I remember just kind of seeing the trailers for Miss Scarlet and the Duke. I had never watched Alibi in my life. I now regularly watch Alibi. But I just remember seeing the trailers and thinking, oh, that seems like a kind of show I like. Period drama, crime, bit of romance, nice looking
Tick,
people.
tick,
Yeah,
tick. Yep, got it all.
this is
Got it all.
ticking all my boxes. And
Exactly.
it's not a lie when I say it got me through lockdown. It was the
Yeah.
positive thing. I loved the fact that the story ran almost through the six episodes. I loved the fact that it ended on a happy note. Like, I loved them walking off into the sunset. It felt like a cozy, safe show, and I could probably have told you season one verbatim by the time, you know, it came out in America in January 2021. And when it came out in January, it just became even bigger, because we had a small group of people talking about it from the UK, and then we had it just sort of burst onto the screen. We had loads of American friends join us. We had the Instagram video with Kate and Stuart where they were talking about the show, and there was just so much love at a time when genuinely I think we all needed it. We were all back in a second lockdown, and it was so lovely to meet virtually loads of people in a way that we couldn't do in real life. And so many of those people that I met back in that time are still my friends, and they still message. And you know, Amanda, you came up with the idea of the podcast, and you and Bella asked me if I would do it. I'd never done a podcast before. I had no idea what I was signing up to, but I was like, hey, I don't mind. I got time. We've got all the time in the world right now.
Exactly.
And genuinely, the show has helped me through some pretty dark, horrible times in my real world.
Yeah.
Times where I, you know, wasn't sure where things were gonna go. And coming to the group and to the group of friends that we'd made, and doing this podcast every month with a smile on my face, it's been such a lovely, safe environment, and I've genuinely loved every minute. And I think I will watch Cell 99 and The Case of Henry Scarlet till I die.
Yeah.
That those two episodes, regardless of anything else, I will watch those two episodes for verbatim till I die. They are my happy place. And you know, that's not to say that other episodes don't have that same spark. I love Black Witch Moth. I love Quarter to Midnight. You know, I love The Jewel of the North, and even The Air. The Air isn't particularly the happiest, and I may stop it before the tea scene at the end. But I love the case in that one. I love you know, the thought process of could I actually send this guy to jail? He's such a sweet kid, and it was all an accident, and he's had a really crummy life. Could I have sent him to jail? No, probably not. And I will probably on YouTube watch William and Eliza's videos. Even now, there's a bit of sadness to them, but I still love watching them. And I still love the scenes that we got in season four. And I'm not ready for Eliza and William to go yet.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to let them go. And so I will probably continue to post some pictures and continue to watch the videos, and I will desperately try to continue to write fanfic because I'm not ready to let them go. And I know there are a number of people that have kind of gone, well, what's the point now? And that kind of breaks my heart.
Yeah. Well, not many people, probably nobody, not many people know that in May 2019, I had a second stroke and it was kind of a big one. I lost feeling in my legs and I had trouble walking and I had aphasia, which is where you get words mixed up in your mind, you have trouble speaking. And so the podcast was part of my recovery process. I still have trouble speaking. But you guys don't know that because I edit it all out because I'm a genius. But it was part of my process to recover, because the occupational therapist said, you're fine speaking, but you need to have big conversations where you have complex thoughts and complex conversations because you need to rebuild your brain to have these big, conversations where you can think multiple thoughts and get them out of your mouth properly. You can do a sentence, that's fine. It's these big, complex conversations. And so the podcast has allowed me to rebuild my brain, work on these complex conversations, and it was just a bonus that I could talk about one of my favorite shows of Miss Scarlet and the Duke. It holds a it holds a spot in my heart, like Lindsay. It helps her get through, these hard times. It helped me get through some hard times and in my recovery from my stroke. Each month I would talk to Bella and Lindsay and then Lindsay, continuously. And we had these long, hour to 2 hour long conversations about our show, that I can talk and speak and have these complex thoughts and complex conversations. And 5 years later, my brain has not fixed itself completely, but it's where I can talk and nobody will notice and, go, oh, why are you stumbling over your words or whatever? So.
I mean, I don't even notice it anymore when you're kind of being a bit slow or you can't quite think of the word that you're trying to say. It's you wouldn't notice at all.
The podcast is a special thing to me that it's helped and I love that I can talk about Miss Scarlet and the Duke. I mean, it's a win-win, right? Right. So
Right.
I love that we've created this community and we've created this podcast. And I hope that it helps the listeners. I know that people put it on to get through their work day or they're driving places and they put us on to listen and they laugh at our stupid foolishness. I know they've said that many times, and so I appreciate you guys, and I hope that we've helped you too, to get through COVID, to help get through, some times, I know. So I know I've said it, a couple times, and I want to continue to say it. I appreciate you fans. We did it for you fans. This is the whole reason we did it was for the fans. This is a fan thing. It's a fan podcast. We're not doing this for PBS. We're not doing it for Rachel and Ben and the show. We're doing it for you guys.
And because we love it.
Yeah.
It has been a labor of love for many years,
Yeah.
and we still love
Yeah. And so, continuing that love, we want to talk
it.
about some favorite William. Some favorite William and Eliza scenes. Continue on with the William theme of the podcast. So, what What is a favorite William scene for you, Lindsay?
So, absolutely top at the top of my list is always going to be the thank you scene at the end of season one, episode four, because I just think it was just that turning moment of William can change. He can accept Eliza for who she is. You know, he's not immobile. You know, we see him stop and say thank you, and in a way that is actually incredibly, incredibly meaningful. You know, it's not just a quick, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. And it's a heartfelt, meaningful sorry, and you see that he can change. And it gave me hope that, you know, this could be different. I loved the scene between the prison door and cell 99. It will
Yes.
always be that moment, and I think even Kate and Stuart have described it, of that moment where you see Eliza and William kind of go from point A to point B, and they come out the other side completely different people. Like they learn to respect each other a little bit more. I love the walk and talk at the end of season two, episode two, because I just think it's so them. I mean, there were so many walks and talks throughout the seasons that it's just so them. They could just so easily walk shoulder to shoulder, chatting, and it showed a real ease between them. I think it's just lovely. And you know, there are so many scenes that you guys, because we did ask the group, we put it on the group and said, you know, come on, tell us what your favorite scenes are, to try and give us a little bit of, you know, positivity. Let's remember our favorite things. And there's so many. I love William and Fitzroy's relationship. I
Yes.
love how that relationship went from, you know, where Fitzroy was a little bit annoying, wasn't quite where he needed to be. He was a bit clumsy, and they just sort of grew together, and they grew and became this really funny kind of brotherly relationship. And it showed how the growth in William, that he could be that character. It showed a really nice side of him. And
Yes.
the same with Fitzroy. When you look at him from season two and to where he finishes at the end of season four, he
Yes.
has grown so much, and that is all down to William. That's all down to the confidence that William has given, and shows what a great character William was. You know, I love Ivy and William. Those scenes, there wasn't that many scenes between the two of them, but you could see that there was a real love and respect with each other. There's just so many themes that I'm like, oh, and the fact that he got to say, I love you. I can't fault that. I know he leaves, but I think, you know, he got to tell his truth, and Eliza actually got to hear him say, I love you. And I think, you know, for anybody who will try and convince me William wasn't good enough or William wanted a certain thing, I don't think you can ever take away that he absolutely hand on heart loved her.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. My favorite scenes are the ones where you see his personality. He's so multifaceted. You can see he's this tough Scotland Yard detective inspector. But then you see, like with Fitzroy, that he's also this caring mentor, brother figure. With Eliza, he's her strongest supporter. Step aside, Nash. You know,
Don't go there.
he doesn't baby her, you know, outside of the first couple episodes of season one. You know, he fusses at her that she puts herself in danger, but that's because he honestly loves her and cares her. Who wouldn't fuss at somebody you love putting themselves in danger? But he doesn't baby her, you know, he doesn't put her in jail anymore. He lets her do her own thing. But my favorite scenes are like his walk to Scotland Yard, that first episode where, he is meeting everybody along the walk and they say, "Hey Duke, hi Duke," and he knows him by name. He gets the bun for the homeless guy. He taps the Scotland Yard sign, because you can just tell how important, his life is, how important Scotland Yard is, how important the Duke is to people, that people count on him, that people respect him, that he has a respect, he respects people, like the homeless guy. He gives him a bun. Who would do that other than the Duke? You see his personality, you see what he does every morning. And then him, the scene where he writes the I love you note to Eliza, that montage of, the to whom it may concern, or the Eliza, I, he goes back and forth on what to say, like how he's sitting, what seat he's sitting in. You can just tell, like, it's his personality. Like, what should I say to this woman who is everything to me? And, like, I'm slumped over because I'm so, like, bared down by my love for her. No, I gotta sit up straight and get this off. And it just shows, like, all his personality in his writing this letter. And then it's simple. It's clear. The sun is shining on him. And he just simply writes, "Oh, I love you," and that's enough. And because he's a simple man, but he's very complex at the same time. He's such a great character. Oh my God. It's these scenes that show us, like I said, he can be this tough Scotland Yard inspector, like, "Don't mess with me. Give me my answers, you crook." And then, like, the next minute, he's telling Fitzroy, like, "You're a good copper. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You're good at what you do. Don't let anybody get you down." And, he's good with Ivy. Like you said, he's just a great character. And I loved his, we've talked about his progression with Fitzroy, but I also loved his progression with Moses. In the beginning, he throws Moses out of the house because, he doesn't need to be there. But then he trusts Moses with Eliza's life. He trusts Moses with Fitzroy's life. He goes to Moses and asks, "Can you teach Fitzroy to fight?" That's a big thing. He didn't trust Moses in the beginning. But then in the end, they're solving crime together. He knows Moses is a criminal, that Moses does things underhandedly. And yet he's cool with Moses being there. He doesn't even blink. He doesn't even say, like, "Should we talk in the other room so this criminal doesn't hear these things?" He's all like, "Yep, nope, Moses is fine. Moses is great. Moses protects you. Moses is, good in my book." And that shows real progression, that he's not just like criminal, bad, he's just great. I miss Moses so much. Sorry. So I loved that progression, that, it showed that William can grow there too. Growth with Moses, growth with Fitzroy, growth with Eliza, growth with Ivy. Oh, this man is great. Oh. And recording.
I think from the
I
group we do have to give a few kind of shout outs in the
Yes.
sense of Adrian said her favorite is the I'm the favored whore of Detective Inspector William Wellington of Scotland Yard, and his response being, "It's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'd love to sit here and reminisce, but I've got some whoring to do." Love that scene,
And
100%.
kind of based off of that, if you want to go to Etsy and find, we do have a member who makes t-shirts that say Duke's Tarts. So you can buy Duke Tarts t-shirts. They're fabulous. They're comfy and soft. They're wonderful, bright, wonderful colors. I recommend them. Get yourself a Duke Tartt t-shirt if you're looking up. Just look up Miss Scarlet and the Duke. I'm sure it'll pop up if you want to be one of Duke's Tarts. Anyway, continue on.
Laurie said her favorite scene was the fake proposal because it had to
Always.
be the truest, most romantic scene that they had, and the way that they look at each other is just they were in the moment, and yeah, that scene is pretty perfect, I have to admit. I again, I'm not going to be negative, but I do kind of go, he always thought that they were meant to be together, and I want to hope and pray that they are meant to be together.
Yeah.
And the sexy step, we have to mention the sexy step.
Francesca always goes on about William's sexy step. Oh boy, is it a sexy step. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. Callie says she loves William reading in the bar with the quarter to midnight, and he has to read all these novels and he's in the noisy bar trying to read a book. I mean, who does that? Oh gosh.
William, apparently.
William, not I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Maria also said she loved William changing in his office. I mean, who
Opener
doesn't
to
love
season five. That made us all sit up and look.
Yep. We love that one. Who doesn't? I think that's
Nor
second to the proposal. Proposal, then the changing of the
Nora says that her favorite scene is when they're cooking eggs in the kitchen in episode 6 of season 1. Yeah, that's gotta be up there with,
Yeah, top
I
five as
think,
well.
yeah.
Yep.
And Francesca, it's the them walking off into the sunset at the end of season 1, episode 6.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be, I think, our lasting memory. Eliza and William, regardless of what happens on the show, they are arm in arm walking off into the sunset together because that is what they deserve.
Yes, I agree. If you haven't seen on our Instagram, Francesca also made a goodbye video for Stuart, thanking him for his time as the Duke. So that, I mean, that was a very touching video. If you haven't seen that, go to our Facebook or our Instagram and go and see it. It's a
Have some tissues at the ready.
yeah, or sit alone in a dark room that nobody can see you crying. I don't think anybody has not shed a tear over that video. Yeah.
I'm gutted for the things that we won't get to see. I love Eliza. I know she is going to make a fantastic, fantastic detective. I know that whatever happens come season 5, she is going to shine and she's going to be a brilliant detective. I have no doubt in my mind that she will achieve what she wants. I just feel a little bit gutted that for her character, she's not going to have William's love as well, because I feel like that's something that she needs. That it doesn't make her weak having the love of a good man, and
Yeah.
William is a good man, and Ivy has said it, he is a good man, and I think her character will be missing something a little bit with him not around. And you can bring in a new love interest if you want, but it won't be William, and I feel like she deserved his love. And maybe she doesn't realize that she deserves his love, but she did.
Yeah, I really want to support Kate and Kathy and Evan and Paul and Tim, but I mean, the show is going to be different, and I really hope Eliza, does some soul searching and realize that she needs the love of a good man to be complete. She has done the running an office full of men. She has her name above her office. Hopefully that's successful. Hopefully she, blossoms from there. And, maybe this will make her realize that she needs, that second part. You don't need a man,
No.
you want a man. You want that partnership. You want somebody to come home and say, hey, I had a good day or I had a rotten day. I mean, Ivy's there, but that's not enough. You need that partner in life to be there to celebrate, to, commiserate with. And the perfect partner for her just wandered off to New York, and we don't know the future of him. So,
And maybe Stuart will be back, maybe in season six, maybe they will recast William and season six William will be back, but it will be with somebody else. Who knows? Because nobody's got a crystal ball right now. I hope. I hope that at some point Eliza does get that balance in her life, because you can have all the success in the world, but it can be very lonely if you're by yourself. I think that's the one thing that I felt when, at the end of season four, when her name was above her door and she's standing there by herself, I just kind of go, to me, that feels a very lonely existence. And
It would have been nice to have how there was a flashback of William saying, you'll figure it out. Instead, it would have been better to have a flashback of Mrs. Parker saying how she's alone all her life, after her husband's death. Because that's why I feel like, well, Eliza's had her fame and fortune. Now she needs that partner. I think she. Yeah, I think that's what she needs to do. She, because then she'll have a lonely
Everything.
life.
She could have everything in life. I think that's the thing for me. And maybe it's like a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy that I kind of go, I want a bit of everything. I want my career, and I want my husband and my daughter and my family. And life is not just about spending hours at work. It's about all the people and the friends that you make. Even like we've said about the lovely group of friends that we have made along the way. The show is more than just the show. It's a culmination of a lot of different things, and I feel like Eliza is kind of missing out, and I don't want her to miss out. She deserves the love of a good man as well as the success of her career. I think she can have both, and I hope at some point William, whether it's Stuart or somebody else, I don't want it to be somebody else, but hey ho, that's what it has to be. That she finds the thing that she's looking for.
Me too. Because I want the best for Eliza, and I don't know if the best is where she's at right now.
So, as for the future of the podcast, it's been a long discussion. The reason why we haven't recorded this sooner is because we've both had to take a little bit of time to figure out what are we gonna do. Because for us, it's not just about the show anymore. It's about the community of fans and the lovely friendships that we've made more than, say, the show. It's kind of bigger than the show in some ways. So, do you wanna do the drum roll? Shall I do the drum roll and you can make the announcement? There you go.
We are disbanding, I guess. We are, this is the
Growing. We're ex expanding rather than disbanding, I would go.
expanding.
Expanding.
This is the last Scarlet Tears podcast. And we will eventually, in the next month or two, close the Scarlet Tears podcast group.
Maybe.
Maybe. We are going to rename the page and rename the podcast because we want to talk about everything in your imagination. So we are going to be called the Rogue Duchesses of Imagination because we're going rogue.
We are going rogue.
Going rogue. I love that word. I mean, I can't tell you how excited I am. And a kind of a nod to the Duke Duchesses. And we want to talk about everything in your imagination. We want to talk about books, movies, TV, music, art, fan fiction. I mean, everything, traveling, where you've been, where you want to go. I mean, literally anything in your imagination we want to talk about. Yep.
It's more than just the love of one show now. I think it's
Yes.
all about the love of life, and
Perfect.
that's not to say that we are never going to talk about Miss Scarlet, because
No.
we will. I really hope that we will still be supportive, that we can still support the actors and everybody involved. I just at the moment don't feel like we can spend the next 9 months talking about Miss Scarlet, having no idea what that looks like. And we want to keep our friendships. We want to keep our friends together. Hopefully, whoever is listening, you've been with us long enough that you'll come on this journey. I hate that word, but hey ho. You'll come on this journey with us. You'll join. We will have a new Facebook group, which we have opened already. So if you go to Facebook and search Rogue Duchesses of Imagination, you will see that the Facebook group is already there, and we will share it on our podcast fan group already. So we want to share lots of different things with everybody, and I think this is the best way that we can bridge the gap between those who no longer want to support the show, because I'm not here to tell people that they should or they shouldn't. That's not never been my job. And that if people, I'm not going to be like, yeah, you have to watch in season five, or no, you don't. It's entirely your choice on what you do. That is not my area to tell people what to do. But I want, so we will most likely, because I hope there are still fans of the show within our new group, and even you listeners, I'm sure you will probably enjoy come January if we do a podcast and go, oh, actually, these episodes are brilliant, and no, we don't miss William and things. And yeah, we may still come and chat, and hopefully you guys will still enjoy listening to whatever we have to say, because we have loved this and we've loved the show, and it's bridging that gap between the two. We don't want to lose the lovely groups of fans that we have by continuing to talk, and they don't want to, but equally, we're not going to alienate. If you want to talk about the show and you want to still support, brilliant. There will be places within the new group to talk about it as well. And even on our Instagram page, we will still post pictures and support the actors and the crew behind the scenes, because we love them. We love these guys, and that's what we're here for. I want to get the positivity. The one thing that I found in the last few weeks since this news is there's not enough positivity in the world anymore. There's so much crap going on, and one of the things about this group was it was positive, it was lovely, it was all about the love, and we need to get back to that and not be continually dwelling on the fact that the show is not the same show that we all fell in love with. And that is the reality. I mean, it is what it is. We are in where we are. But the Rogue Duchesses of Imagination just kind of, it makes us smile. It's there to promote any sort of
Any.
storytelling, imagination. There's so many books out there and TV shows that we've all been sharing. I think that's one of the lovely things that we found, is that in the last few weeks, where we've been trying to kind of find a happy space, the amount of people that have been like, oh, try this book, or actually, have you watched have you you know have you watched Miss Fisher mysteries, because that's a similar kind of thing to Miss Scarlet, but it's set in the 20s. Or for me, I started watching Wild Cards, which is a CW show that I'm like, oh, I like this one. And we've been starting to kind of share that, and that's kind of where this idea has come from, supporting each other, supporting other kind of shows and imagination, and talking about where we've been on holiday. So if somebody wants to go somewhere, it's like, oh, hey, I've been there. It's like fans who are coming to London who have reached out to me and are like, oh, I'm coming to London. I'm like, sure, tell me when. I'll meet up with you. I love London. Don't live too far. Happy to come and meet up. And it's lovely to meet up with people that have travelled. And that's one of the joys of this show, because it has brought together so many different people, and so many people that I would never have spoken to in any other way.
Yeah, we just want to expand outside the scope of Miss Scarlet and the Duke. We're the same people. We just want to talk about everything.
I mean, I still have trouble just calling it Miss Scarlet. Like it just, I have to stop myself from adding "and the Duke." And I think that's going to take a little while to get used to.
And we're going to take a break with the podcast till we get our feet under us, figure out what we want to talk about.
We have some plans, we have
We have
some
some
thoughts,
plans, we
so
have some ideas,
it
but
won't be too long.
we also want you to tell us what you want the group to be, what you want the podcast to be. Tell us what books to talk about, what movies, if there's any actors you want us to try to reach out to, we want to try to do the same thing that we've been doing, just bigger. I don't know why, but hey, we've done well for just two.
Nearly 20,000 listens is not bad.
So, we want to try to do more, and we hope you will go on this journey, like Lindsay said. keep listening.
Hope we reach a destination.
Hope
That's
you.
my only trouble, is we're on a journey. I never reached the destination.
I don't know where our destination is, but hopefully we'll have fun getting there. We'll be just
Hundred
as
percent.
silly as we've been. We're not going to change. We're the same people. We're just talking about different topics. Let us know what topics you want us to talk about.
And hey,
Literally
if you want to join
anything under your
us,
imagination.
if you want to
That's
join
all.
us on the podcast, come and chat about
Yes.
something, just reach out to us, send us a message, send us a little thing on the Facebook group. We're happy to chat and just kind of enjoy all the different aspects of storytelling and the imagination that is out there. If you have a book that you're trying to write that you want to promote, give us a shout. If
Or you're a
we'd
musician and you have a new album coming out, we want to talk to you. We don't care where you're at. You're in this country, in this state.
If you are in America,
Oh.
if you are in London, if you are anywhere in the world, because there are many people around the world. It always surprises me how many people around the world and where everybody's from when it comes to the group, because it really is a multi-country group. It's not just particular people. And it covers so many different things. And I don't want to lose the friendships that we've made.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. We don't want to lose you guys. No.
We love you.
Go on. Keep going on this crazy train.
So that is us. So, check out our new Facebook group. And as you see, things will change as we get kind of more under our feet, updating the names on the Facebook page and on Instagram, and we'll have a new website where we can kind of do little posts on different things. And we're the future is looking bright. It's looking red.
It's looking red.
Red.
We're going rogue. It'll
We
be
are
cool.
going rogue. I love that.
Me too. I love that word so much. But it'll be fun. So,
Yes.
keep going on this train. It'll be fun.
Yes. And thank you so much for joining us. For the last 2, 3 years, it's been amazing. And I never thought this is when I started the show in 2020. Never did I think this is where we would end up.
No. I just thought it was something for us to do.
A
About it. And
way to pass a little bit of time and nobody would listen.
yeah, and here we are.
And here we are.
So thanks for listening. We
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
you and hope you'll listen to the next one, okay? Bye.
Take care.
Hi guys, it's Amanda. I just finished editing the podcast. And instead of putting our usual ending onto it, I wanted to put a different ending since this is the last Skylar Tears podcast. So thanks for listening. I'm so glad we had this time together, just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just got started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long. Goodbye for now, guys.